Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians as we continue our study of this great epistle of the apostle that he wrote from prison in Rome to the church at Philippi. We are this morning considering Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4 and reading through verse 7. This is the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray as we look at this most majestic passage that by your Holy Spirit, you would illumine our hearts and minds and give us understanding. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. What is it that makes you anxious? What is on your mind when you wake up troubled at 3 a.m? Is it your children you're worried about? Is it finances? Is it your marriage? Of course, it could be a myriad of things, and perhaps one thing on top of another. I can imagine there are some people sitting here this morning who are greatly anxious about something. It could be a health issue. It could be aging parents. It could be upcoming weddings. It could even be something like VBS. I'm merely taking a guess at that. A host of matters could be making you anxious at this very moment. The members of the church at Philippi have been anxious. They have been worried about Paul, who is in prison. They are worried about Epaphroditus, who almost died in the cause of the gospel. They are worried about the influence of the Judaizers in their church. They are worried about the bickering in the church, as Paul talked about with Euodia and Syntyche. They are troubled about many things. Paul, in a few verses here, is going to deal with the fears of the people at Philippi, with the strains and anxieties of these Christians at Philippi. And his teaching here will serve us well, too. He begins in verse 4, dealing with anxiety and worry by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Here in verse 4, Paul gives a double summons for the believer to rejoice in the Lord. The Puritan Matthew Henry, when he's looking at this passage, says, it is our duty and privilege to rejoice in God. And to rejoice in Him always, at all times, in all conditions, even when we suffer for Him or afflicted by Him. Christian joy does not depend on changing circumstances. It is not on shifting sand. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul says, always. Rejoice in the Lord at all times. Now, this does not mean that we pretend to be happy when all is wrong and we are hurting and things are going amiss in our lives. It's not to have a fake or mindless grin on our faces or a thoughtless clap. It's not that. But joy results in our hearts when we call to mind that the Lord rules everywhere and always, that He is our God, and He has sent His Son to die for us, to forgive us our sins, and to secure for us eternal life. That's joy in the Lord. It is rejoicing in Jesus and what He has done. Understand what Paul's saying here is we are to look away from ourselves, to look away from our troubles and our anxiety, and rather stay ourselves upon Jesus. To stay ourselves upon Jesus. Fanny Crosby lost her sight when she was 6 weeks old. She lived into her 90s, composing thousands of beloved hymns. And on her 92nd birthday, she cheerfully remarked, "If in all the world you can find a happier person than I am, do bring him to me. I would love to shake his hand." When she was 8 years old, she said, "How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I am blind, I cannot and I won't." So here's Paul's first cure for anxiety, is to rejoice in the Lord in every circumstance and in every experience. Again, here is Paul speaking from an adverse situation, prison in Rome, about to face death. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. The second thing Paul tells us is in verse 5. He says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." To be honest, it seems to me that one of the causes of my anxiety is often the way other people act and how they conduct themselves toward me and how I want them to act, but they don't act that way. How people treat me and others can be a source of great angst, a source of great anxiety. When I look at my children and they don't act the way I want them to, it builds anxiety in me. And that's when I wake up at 3 a.m. with fears and troubles and anxiety. The ESV says here, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." Well, the word reasonableness here in the Greek, I believe, is much better translated as forbearance, as gentleness. That is, Christians are to be charitable to others. We are to be sensitive to the plight of others. This word is a word used in the New Testament of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, it says this, "I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ," by the forbearance of Christ. And we are to be like Christ, and we are to have a compassionate and gentle disposition. And therefore, we're not to brood over the wrongs of others. We're not to be anxious, but measured in our responses to them. And we are to be gentle with others. Our natural constitution and our natural inclination is to strike out at these types of people, to take our anxiety out upon them. We ought not to do that, for the Lord Jesus is at hand, Paul says. The Master is approaching. the Master is approaching. May we behave like Christ in His presence. Then thirdly, Paul says, how do you deal with your anxiety? Is verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now note, there are two elements to this verse. There's a negative command that's followed by a positive command. The negative command is do not be anxious about anything. Do not be apprehensive about anything. We are not to allow a spirit of anxiety to dominate us. Are you a person in which anxiety dominates you? Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And fortunately, he just doesn't scold us, but he gives us the antidote. He gives us the cure. Look at that. Do not be anxious about anything. There's your negative command followed by your positive command. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. The antidote to anxiety is prayer. When anything burdens our spirits, we are to ease our hearts with prayer. Scripture teaches this over and over again. For example, Psalm 55, verse 22, a wonderful passage that I believe each of us ought to memorize. Psalm 55, 22, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. And then the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Listen to what Peter says. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. All your anxieties upon Him. Prayer is the cure. Prayer is the antidote. We ought to have mottos such as these. I know it's a popular type of Christianity, but I think these mottos are true. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. No care, but all prayer. Chuck Swindoll put it this way. We should turn our worry list into a prayer list. Prayer is the antidote to anxiety. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And note that the two primary aspects of prayer are underscored in this verse. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's prayer and petition. It is making your requests known to God. It is pleading for His intercession. But it's also thanksgiving. It is being grateful for what God has done. It is those two things together. Again, this type of prayer is the cure for anxiety and worry. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said this: let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 underscores this when it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And then we hit verse 7. What a promise. What a stunning promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The consequence of rejoicing in the Lord in all things, having charity towards others in all things, and praying to God about all things, results in this, that the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. Will guard our hearts and our minds. This is a military word. It's used of a sentinel that protects and guards the fortress against external enemies. And here it is used of the peace of God that protects us and keeps us from sinking under our troubles. It is a peace that overcomes the turbulence. It overcomes the unrest in our hearts and our minds, which otherwise would agitate us, would otherwise send us into despair, that would otherwise sink us. But the promise here is when we put our cares in God's hands, He puts His peace in our hearts. Worry, anxiety, rob us of joy and contentment. Prayer returns them to us. And note the mystery here. Note the great mystery that this peace of God is one which surpasses all understanding. It is a peace, a joy, and a contentment that mere words or reason cannot explain. That cannot be expressed by words, as Charles Spurgeon said. Understanding can never understand it. This is a peace that belongs to God and the peace of God. It belongs to Him. And because it is His, it therefore exceeds all human comprehension, both in its nature and in its effects. The peace of God will calm the storm in the heart, will calm the storm in the minds of those who seek God diligently in prayer. And will keep them calm. Amy Carmichael, most distressing situation of persecution, said the following. The peace of Jesus stood every sort of test, every strain, and it never broke. Because it is this. It is His very own peace, which He says, I give to you. Consider that this peace of God that settles the turbulent storms of anxiety through prayer belongs only to those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you see that at the end of verse 7? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace of God only belongs to those who are at peace with God. It is a gift from Him to His people. It's a peace and a joy and a contentment that surpasses anything we understand. When our minds and our hearts are fixed upon Him, then we begin to experience the assurance of His presence and the assurance of His power. We have a comfortable sense of our having been made right with God, and that He is on the throne of the universe, and that He sits enthroned, and that He reigns over all the circumstances of my life, and He reigns over all the conditions of my life. Are you anxious this morning? Then turn to Jesus in prayer. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this I say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, there are indeed all of us this morning who are anxious about many different things. We may be anxious about our children, about our health, about our society, about so many different things. Oh Lord, calm our hearts and give us the peace that surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus our Lord. May He be glorified in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.